Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. So the Prophet has abilities are unlike our abilities because it's from Allah. And that is why والسلام, he used to say, O people, straighten your rows because I see you from behind my back. So it's a gift to the Prophet from Allah Azza wa Jal. So he told them, why did you take off your sandals? They said, O Prophet of Allah, you took off your sandals, we took off our sandals as well. So the Prophet said, in the middle of the prayer, Jibreel, the archangel, came to me and told me that there is an impurity on my sandals. There is najasa. And we know that you cannot pray with najasa on, so I took them off. So the Prophet is saying, whenever any one of you wants to pray in his sandals, he should observe his sandals so that he is sure that there is no najasa. And if there is, remove it and pray with it. This is the ruling. And from this, we learn another important ruling. And that is, a lot of the times people ask, if I prayed Dhuhr prayer and I went home and I found that there is a najasa on my clothes, on my body. Sometimes people pray and afterwards they check their underwears, they find traces of najasa they were not aware of. Or I carried my child and the child urinated on me and I said, khalas, I'm gonna go and wash it. I forgot. A few hours later, salah was called, I made wudu and went. After I finished the salah, and the thawb has impurities. What do I do? The scholars say, from the hadith of the Prophet, when he prayed half of the prayer with his sandals on, with najasa, this means that his prayer is valid. Otherwise, Jibreel would have said, stop shooting, stop praying, stop doing anything. Why? Oh, you have najasa, pray again. But he did not say this. This means that his prayer was valid. And likewise, anyone who prays with an impurity on his body, on his clothes, on the place he was worshipping or praying on, if he did not know, then his prayer is valid. Alhamdulillah. But what happens if I remember during prayer that my shirt has a najasa on it? What to do? Take it off. As long as your awrah is not exposed, you have a t-shirt underneath, take it off immediately and continue to pray. And what happens if it is protecting my awrah? If it's in my underwears, I just remembered, it's in my pants, I can't take my pants off. Scholars differed. Some of them said that you have to stop praying, remove your clothes, wear new ones, and pray. And some say, no, as long as you've started it unknowingly, and then you discovered and you're unable to remove it, alhamdulillah, you're exempted. You can continue to pray. And of course, the best thing, if there is time and you have the ability, pray it again, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. So, going back to the hadith, I will not be taking any questions. If you have any questions, just note them down, inshallah, next time we meet, probably we'll answer it. Going back to the hadith, praying in the sandals is sunnah, not limited to the Prophet's time, alayhi salatu wasalam, because we have some of those liberals or some of those who have strange ideas telling you, no, you should not pray in your sandals or your shoes. This was at the time of the Prophet, alayhi salam, and time changes. And this is not accurate. Though time changes, but the religion does not change. Islam copes with all different environments and times, but it doesn't change. So it evolves, but it never changes. It goes with the flow, but it never alters, in the sense that no one would come and say, Akhi, wine was haram at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because people were barbaric. They had their swords and they used to fight. Now, because we don't have any swords or guns or... So if you're a social drinker, you take a glass or two, it's okay. Malish, champagne is okay, it's a wedding. But whiskey, no, haram. What is this? Time, though changes, religion remains as it is. One would say, Akhi, time is changing now. It's a cosmopolitan city. We're living in a changing world. So now it's okay if we mix with the opposite sex and we have business meetings with women and we have business dinners. This is okay because we're not going to jump each other. We're civilized. We're so saying, what does Islam say? Yeah, Islam was 15 centuries ago. I said, no. Islam will remain till the day of judgment. What does Allah say? What does the Prophet say, alayhi salatu wasalam? And it's applicable. So when we say this, we have to know where it is permissible for us to change and where it is not. When it's related to deen, when it's related to religion, the religion has been complete. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. End of story. The religion is complete, meaning no one can say, well, five prayers are a lot. Yani skip Fajr prayer so that we can go to work on time. This is 20% discount. Alhamdulillah, we have four prayers. Enough. Time changes, you say, no. Time changes, but prayers do not. Mixing, no. You have to segregate men from women. Zakat. At the time of the Prophet, they used to slaughter as sacrifice sheep. Now, sheep is very expensive, so we will sacrifice 20 chicken instead. Or we'll have five big tunas. No, you can't. Deen is complete. But when someone says, okay, the deen at the time of the Prophet, they used to ride horses and camels. Said, okay, Islam doesn't tell you that this is part of the deen. So you can ride a BMW or a Ferrari. It's up to you, if you can afford it. And you can take a plane from one country to the other. You can make wudu in your bathroom with faucets and tabs. You can take a bath in your bathtub. All of these are not part of the deen. So Islam evolves and it still remains that using gold is haram for men. You cannot use golden utensils. Whether it was 15 centuries ago or until today, because this is related to Islam. It's something forbidden or permissible. So, praying in the shoes is a sunnah. Now, is it advisable to apply a sunnah when the disadvantages are far greater than the advantages? Is it? Let me repeat. If I'm going to apply a sunnah, but I know that the outcome from the people, the disadvantages would be far greater than the advantage of practicing the sunnah. Is this advisable? This is definitely no. Because as stated before, Islam is built on attaining advantages and completing them. And preventing disadvantages and reducing them. So if someone, an imam or a student of knowledge, goes to nowadays masjids, which has been having these carpets all over the floor. Nice, clean, very beautiful odor. People taking care of the masjid. And he walks on with his boots on these carpets. Is this recommended? Of course not. Though there is no najasa, though there is no impurity on his shoes, but there is dust, there is dirt. It's not najis, it would make the place dirty. Now, the question would be, would you enter your house with your boots on? No. So how do you dare enter the masjid? So, akhi, I'd like to apply the sunnah. Apply the sunnah when it is suitable. So if I'm praying, and this happens to me a lot, I go and travel, and the prayer is due, and I'm in an airport, in a foreign country, and there is no prayer hall. What to do? I pray in the waiting room. I pray in the hall itself, in the arrival lounge or the departure lounge. Do I take my shoes off? Nope. I pray with my shoes on, following the sunnah. We go for a picnic. We play football, we do this, we do that, wearing our shoes. Once prayer time is due, do you take your shoes off? Most of the people do. No, don't. Follow the sunnah. Okay, I want to make wudu. Wipe over the shoes or over the socks and pray in your shoes so that you would be following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So, generally speaking, throughout normal times, yes, pray in your shoes if you're wearing them, but not when you enter the masjid. Especially not when you enter a masjid of people who do not know the sunnah, because you will cause fitna to them. And the fitna is greater when you say, oh, this is sunnah. A lot of the arrogant and ignorant people, when they hear you say this is sunnah, they will curse sunnah. Astaghfirullah. Shaitan is there. So they're outraged. Why are you doing this? Why are you wearing shoes in the masjid? And you calmly say, because it's the sunnah of the Prophet. By saying this, they will attack the sunnah, and they will attack the Prophet ﷺ, because shaitan is in the driver's seat. He's controlling them. Therefore, one should be wise in applying the sunnah and in measuring the advantages and the disadvantages, so that you would not be a reason for attacking Islam. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.